Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 23. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with bitter food, and give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, It shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, No disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to the word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth. A whirling tempest, it will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. And they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now hear the New Testament lesson from Hebrews chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 1. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Having purified your souls by the obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before I even get started, let me remind those of you who that there are some out. I think I forgot to say anything last week in both services, and I noticed the number that were left at the end of the service was a little higher than usual. So there it is. They're still out there. In fact, we had so many left over, I left last week's out there too. So who knows? Maybe they'll disappear. Feeding on Christ by faith with thanksgiving. We are in a series that's related to shepherding and the care of souls. We are using Ezekiel 34 as our main text and then kind of looking at the rest of the scriptures, taking a glance around to fill in some of the details of shepherding. And one of the main responsibilities of a shepherd is to feed the flock. Ezekiel 34 is all about that. The Lord first rebukes the shepherds because they hadn't been. He starts off, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? And he talks to them about their neglect of that. And then he promises in verses 13 and 14 that God speaking, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them on good pasture, says the Lord, and he goes on to talk about that. And in toward the end of the chapter, he talks about raising up David to be their shepherd and says, he will feed them. He will feed them and be their shepherd. So feeding the flock is one of the responsibilities that shepherds have, whether they be elders in the church or parents over their children or bosses or someone with legitimate authority. They ought to feed God's flock. Now, the scriptures do use different metaphors when it comes to this idea of feeding. And I want to take the liberty this morning of not just using the shepherding metaphor, but that of a nursing mother with her child, or all the metaphors where the scriptures call us to grow up, to feed on the pure milk of the word, and to be prepared to eat the meat of God's word. We'll use all these metaphors as we think about the script about this topic of a shepherd feeding his sheep. And I want to start by a kind of a negative statement and then move on to the positive. The negative statement is this: beware of eating poison. Beware of eating poison. I think there's at least two ways that we, metaphorically speaking, eat poison when it comes to feeding our souls. The first one is by nurturing our sinful nature. The Bible usually calls this the flesh, depending on the translation. And Paul tells us very clearly in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and following, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6, "For the mindset on the flesh is death." There's a poison to doing what comes natural. "The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So don't eat any poison. Don't feed your flesh. Don't feed your sinful nature. It's poison. It will kill you. It's not a healthy thing to do. The other aspect of feeding on poison, the warning, don't eat poison, has to do with listening to false teachers and false teaching. That is what we read about in our Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah. And that seems to be kind of the consistent thing that was going on in the time of those contemporaries, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And for much of Israel's history, it's not as though there weren't good prophets speaking God's word. There were. There were also, however, bad prophets or false prophets or evil prophets speaking when God had not spoken himself. And that's what I mean by eating poison, listening to false teachers, false prophets, false teaching. Jeremiah gives this little rebuke. It was in the Old Testament lesson, 23:16-17. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes." He doesn't mean don't listen to all the prophets. He means those who are false prophets. "They speak visions of their own minds and not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster will come upon you." And that was not true, especially as we see in history what unfolded during the time of these two particular prophets. There was a great devastation that fell upon the people of God. I like the way Jeremiah said it in verse 22 as we came to the end of that reading that we had this morning. "But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their deeds." You see, the false prophets don't do that. They feed you poison. They will say, it is well with your soul when it's not well with your soul, when you're going astray, when you're doing what is wrong. There's not a word of correction, a word of challenge, a turning you back to look to the Lord God. It's falseness, it's poison, and it will kill you. The false prophets encourage sin and rebellion. They want you to go that way. So Don't do that. Instead, feed on Christ by faith with thanksgiving. I hope you're hearing, even from the title, which is kind of the proposition this morning, feed on Christ by faith with thanksgiving, that what I am saying is the scriptures call you to feed on Christ, that if a prophet, if a shepherd is to feed the people of God, they are to feed primarily on the Word of God. But all of the Word of God points to Christ, who became the Word who dwelt among us, the Word made flesh and who dwells among us. The whole Old Testament prefigures and calls us to look forward to the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus. The Gospels focus our attention on our Lord Jesus, God's Messiah, the David who was to come. And the rest of the New Testament encourages us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the great shepherd of the sheep. And so we want to look at being healthy, satisfied, well-fed souls, or well-fed sheep. A healthy, well-satisfied, well-fed soul is the kind of soul that can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? Or our call to worship this morning from Psalm 63. The psalmist starts out, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. He's speaking of being hungry and thirsty in a sense. And he goes into the sanctuary, the place where God's presence is there. And I don't think he may have had some sort of vision like Isaiah did, where he saw the Lord lofty and exalted and seated on his throne with the cherubim singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. But it may be that in the house of the Lord, he began reflecting on the Word of God, that God was with him, that God had made great and magnificent promises, that God was the God of his people and it redeemed and so on. And in his very fixing his mind on God, on that time of prayer, of meditation, and on believing what God had said, he is able to move on and say, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live, and I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. That's the healthy, well-fed, the healthy, satisfied, well-fed soul. And I want to spend the rest of our time talking about developing your soul by feeding. So, a healthy, satisfied, well-fed soul eats a well-balanced diet. Okay, that's the first point. A healthy, satisfied, well-fed soul eats a well-balanced diet. Again, referring to Jeremiah 23, verses 16 and 17, where the Lord says, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, fulfilling you with vain hopes, and goes on speaking about, you know, they're speaking visions from themselves and not from the Lord, and they're not warning the people to turn. And I want to ask, do you see what the problem is? Do you see what the problem, these prophets is? They were saying something that wasn't true. I mean, in one context, the words would be true. If you were talking to a new babe in Christ, someone who is professing faith, who is turning their heart toward God, to say, it will be well with you, is the right thing to say. To say something about, you know, okay, there's the storms of life for sure, but ultimately, you are safe and you are secure in the Lord. A faithful shepherd or under-shepherd would speak that way. But if there is a sheep who is living in sin, who is erring in their ways, who is feeding their flesh, doing what their sinful nature wants to do, to say to that person, or to sing to them, as it were, it is well with your soul, would not be faithful, would it? A well-balanced diet, therefore, means we have to eat the whole Word of God. The whole Word of God is of use for a well-balanced diet. And a good shepherd is able to speak a word in season according to the need of the moment. A good shepherd in a sense, always positive in that they're always pointing people to faith in Jesus Christ, where we should feed. But they will, in a positive way, if you will, also give the warnings of the Scriptures and make the whole Word of God come to bear on the lives of the people around them. It has, you see, at some level, it has to do with the assurance of salvation. The false prophets were saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. So I want us to think about that. In our context, as in a Presbyterian church, most people come to this church because of at least some sort of leaning toward a reformed understanding of the Bible, and we're familiar with the doctrines of grace, and there's this doctrine called the perseverance of the saints. You know what that is, right? That when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be made alive, and you will persevere in your faith, period. You will always be a believer, and you cannot lose your salvation. And that's a true doctrine. But the idea that we always, as believers, have assurance of pardon, of that grace, is not a biblical doctrine. If I can be absolutely born again, born of the Spirit, but if I am living in rebellion, if I am going my own way, if I am saying things that are not true and I turn my back on the Lord because I'm born again, we know it's only for a season. He will irresistibly call me back to faith and repentance, or chastise me in death, and I won't lose my salvation. But I should have no assurance, should I? The faithful shepherd or the faithful under-shepherd would say, you're living in sin. You should have no assurance that you're going to heaven. You're giving no evidence to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the grace that saves us, the grace that calls us to trust in Jesus Christ, also calls us to live for Him. And we can't have both. We can't have, our little get-out-of-hell-free card and live like hell. When we are reconciled to God, our heart is for Him. And His heart for us is enough grace to lead us away from sin and toward what's doing what's right. So there would be warnings. There would be warnings from the shepherd. I'll give you an example of how Paul does this. Our call to confession this morning was from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he treats them, in this case, as believers. And that's an important thing to note. He's convinced that they're babes, that they've eaten milk, that they're born again. But he gets right after their flesh, doesn't he? And says, while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and believing only in a human way? When you look at the various details that the Apostle Paul deals with in Corinthians, he'll give encouragement in Christ and warning. Let me give you another example of warning. Chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, nor will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Do you see? He sets both before them. And he says, don't be confused. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you are living in these sins, you should not have an assurance of salvation. Unless, of course, you're a believer and you hear, but you were washed, you were cleansed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ. And then it's like, I have to turn to Jesus Christ. You see how that works? You see how that works? That's an important aspect to a healthy diet. So teachers, elders, parents, you must feed those under your care a well-balanced, the whole Word of God, a well-balanced diet. You're pointing them to Christ, who is both the Savior and reconciler of all His children to God, and also the judge of all the earth, who will come and punish the wicked when He returns. And we keep both of those aspects out there, and we call people to faith and repentance, and we give the warnings that the scriptures give. That's what I'm calling for. A healthy, satisfied, well-fed soul maintains a steady diet and exercise. And before I look at that, let me just say, not only shepherds, but sheep. We're all of us who are professing faith in Jesus Christ, we are his sheep. And let me encourage you, a well-balanced diet. Don't fixate on just those few verses that you like or some small amount of the scriptures, but let your soul feed on all of God's word, a well-balanced diet. Understand how God's word speaks to the various needs in the various places where we might find ourselves in life. Now, to a healthy, satisfied, well-fed soul maintains a steady diet and exercise. This is from our New Testament lesson. Hebrews 5:14 said, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil." But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern good and evil. And 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, notice, by the way, he starts by saying, get rid of the poison, right? Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and evil and slander. And then, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up to salvation. I think both of these pictures call us to the Word of God, right? And to a healthy appetite, to a regular diet, and actually exercise, the idea of exercise being in that who by constant practice aspect of it. Both of them are involved. And as shepherds, one of the challenges that we have before us is to bring the Word of God to bear as best as we are able to the hearts of people. Only God can penetrate the heart. I know that. But parents, elders, leaders, shepherds, you need to at least seek the heart of the people that you're seeking to feed. And in doing, though, you call them to eat and on a regular basis, and to exercise by constant practice, by exercising faith and obedience in God's word. That's what the scriptures call us to. And I want to start by, I want to say something to the folks with newborns and young kids and such. Personal testimony, I suppose. Husbands, in those situations, you want to do your best to come alongside and together in the teamwork of mother and father, care for your kids and care for their souls, and husbands, care for the souls of your wives, right, to make sure that they're feeding on the scriptures. Here's my personal testimony. I tried to maintain that priority when our children were babies and toddlers and such. And I remember on more than one occasion making special time, whether it was an hour, a couple hours, for to Sarah to have time in the Word, right? Being a great father that I am, give her a couple hours a week. Yeah, it's been a sarcasm, whatever. But we found that often if I gave her an hour or 2 hours, you know what she did? To meet with the Lord, you know what she did? She slept. You know why she slept? Yeah, duh. She was exhausted. And I want to say that's okay. I want to say that there's times in life where our natural diet and exercise get interrupted, and we shouldn't feel guilty when that happens. It's just a part of life. Now, the priority, the goal to have a steady diet and exercise is good, and that should be our normal, our usual practice. But if you are given, ladies, a chance to meet with God in privacy, and you find yourself sleeping, rest in the Lord and let it be peace to your soul. Consider it a little bite of Sabbath rest and a gift from God. And fathers or husbands, well done if you give her that opportunity. Well done. Even when she sleeps, that you let her know it's okay. It's okay. But you can still feed as you help the family fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So there is this steady diet, this regular seeking God in His Word and prayer. There is this, as Joshua was commanded, this meditating day and night on the things of God. Or like the righteous man in Psalm 1 who delights in the law of the Lord and in His law he meditates day and night. There is that trajectory of life, that steady diet and exercise, that constant practice, with the understanding that there are times when it's not always going to work so well. And that's okay. And just kind of to fix on that for just one more second, and I'll move on. You know, there will be times or in those times where, for whatever reason, we're not in the Word and prayer for a day or a couple days a week, whatever that is. And, you know, to say, I feel bad or I feel guilty, and to say that's a legalism, because it's not, you know, just reading the Bible and prayer. That's, I get that. But I also want to say, you know, if you go a couple days without eating, you're hungry. And if your habit is to meet with the Lord in your devotions, when you hear the voice of God from the Word of God and you speak to Him in your prayers and you don't have that, you're hungry for it. And you will miss it. And if I think it will show up in your life. I know the further I get away from my communion with the Lord, crabbier I get, more impatient I get, the more demanding I get. That's just part of the way that works. So, moving right along, a healthy, satisfied, well-fed soul actually swallows the food. Yeah, when I was a child, my family required me to be part of the Clean Plate Club, right? Yeah, some of y'all know that, the Clean Plate Club. And membership in this club was not optional, it was demanded, it was required. And my parents had a way of determining, at least in those young years, what should go on the plate to be clean, right? And they put things I didn't like on my plate and then required me to eat it. Well, rightly or wrongly in their doing that, I mean, we changed a little bit in our parenting, but we still talked about polite helpings and such. But aside from the food issues that we may have because of that, one of the ways I kind of got around this is, well, sometimes some of my food wound up in my napkin that I threw away and didn't leave on the table. Any other people guilty of that little sin? Yeah, I see that hand. God bless you. another thing that sometimes I would do is just kind of ask to be excused and then fill my mouth and go to the bathroom. And well, I'm not proud of this, but I would deposit the food in the toilet. And anyone else do that? Yeah, the same brother, man, kindred spirit. That club stunk, yeah. Anyway, that's not eating the food, is it? That's not actually swallowing the food so that you benefit from the things of God. If we take it now into that spiritual realm, swallowing the food that God gives us is believing, right? We use that all the time. If someone tells us a story and it's not quite believable, we say, I'm having a hard time swallowing that, right? Yeah. And it has to do not only with believing. We must believe what God's Word says. It's part of eating. It's part of the healthy diet. It's a part of being healthy, satisfied, well-fed as we believe what the Scriptures say. And we act upon it. It goes back to that exercise, that by faith, I love that prayer of confession that called us to believe, to trust in. And the examples of the people, Abraham, Lot, Moses, David, they by faith did. Let me use a negative example with this. When sometimes we talk about swallowing something as doing the thing. When I was in the Navy, when I was new on the ship, and I was like, it wouldn't be low man on the totem pole, it'd be a low man at the bottom of the boat, which is a ship if you're from the Navy. And when they're doing their little pranks and initiations, one of the things they'll do is they'll send you off to go get something from someplace on the ship that just simply doesn't exist. And the trick is to say it in such a believable way that the person goes and starts asking people, do you know where the IC shop is or something like that? And I remember being sent for that. And, not wanting to get in trouble for not bringing it back, looking diligently for something that didn't exist and asking ridiculous questions and not recognizing right away the smiles on people's faces as they sent me to another place to look. It's not just the Navy, is it? I mean, we like to play jokes on people from time to time, some of us more than others. What do we say when we catch someone in that? They swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, right? They not only believed it, but they acted upon it. And that's what I mean by the swallowing of the food too. We believe it and we act upon it. That's what the Scriptures call us to do. And if we don't swallow the food, or even worse, we come and we hear and we believe, but then we go and vomit it up. That's an eating disorder. And that's not really swallowing the food either. And it won't lead to a healthy, satisfied soul, well-fed soul. We need to eat it and swallow it and act upon it. And let me just close by saying, in all of this, that we find Christ in the Scriptures. He is the bread of life. He is the fountain of living water. He is the true manna, the true bread from heaven, which if a person eats, he will live and not die. And as we go to the Scriptures and we read through the Bible or section by section or studying book by book or however it is that God feeds us and we come to be fed before the Lord, we feed on Christ. We look for Christ. We begin to find where He is in the sacrificial system, in the words of the prophets, in the Gospels, in the writing of the epistles, and so on. We feed on Christ. For as our souls believe Jesus and act upon what He says, we are indeed feeding on Christ by faith with thanksgiving, and God will give to us healthy, satisfied, well-fed souls. Let's pray. We thank You, O Lord. We thank You for all the ways You care for us, that You have given to us plenty of food for this life, and that brings us to everlasting life. O Lord Jesus, make us to be people who take, eat, and feed upon You by faith with thanksgiving. Amen.